Try to pull something out of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace. Very familiar scripture, even to the youngest of children. No doubt we know these verses of scripture. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. We could read all this, but basically they've been brought before the king, and a lot of reading here about this golden image and how that it was made up, and the music that he played, quite an amazing orchestra that was taking place here in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar has made this image of gold. And verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen to the Lord's word. You may be seated. I want you to get this tonight. This is what I feel like the Lord would have me preach on. Like I said, very familiar scriptures. I know this is a long title, but I want you to listen right here. This is what I'm going to preach on. I know he can. I believe that he will, but if he don't, I'm still going to live right. I know he can. Somebody say, I know he can. I believe he will, but if he don't, I'm still going to live right. If God doesn't deliver me out of your hand, King, if he doesn't deliver me, be it known unto you that the God we serve is able. But if he doesn't deliver me out of your hand, I'm still not going to worship your gods. And I'm still not going to bow down to this idol. I know God can deliver me from this fiery furnace. And I believe that he will. I believe he will deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver me, and if we die in this fiery furnace, I'll never serve your gods. And I'll never bow down to this idol that you have made. Amen. That's what I want to preach on tonight. And I feel like, amen, the Lord would like to help us. Can you stretch your hand this way? Just ask the Spirit of God to come by and help us tonight. Lord, God, I believe you to have your way in this service, Lord. Have your way, God, here on this Wednesday night service. Lord, help us, God, to be encouraged in this altar. Lord, let the Holy Ghost sweep through this place here tonight. Sweet Holy Spirit, as was just saying. Fall upon us tonight, Lord, as it did in the upper room. We give you glory tonight, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. This is the title of my message tonight. I might not preach very long. It's just real short and simple. Somebody said, keep it SS, short and sweet. Well, I've got SS, short and simple tonight. I don't know how sweet it is, but I know that he can. I know he can. He said, the God that we serve is able. Do you know that he is able? He can do it. Amen. He can touch us. He can do it. Hallelujah. I know that God can. Hallelujah. My faith, the faith in my heart. You know, faith is imparted. God is the one that gives us faith. The Bible said it's given unto man the measure of faith. God has given to every man a measure of faith. And the faith that God has given me, I believe that He will. I believe God will. I believe He's going to answer my prayer. I wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't have faith in God. I wouldn't be crying out to God. I wouldn't be, seeking God. I wouldn't be, pressing toward Him if I did not believe that He is going to do it. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And these three Hebrew children, they said, I believe, we believe that He will. We know He's able, and we believe that He will, but if He doesn't, what about it tonight? What if God does not answer your prayer? What if God does not heal your body? What if God does not come through for you? What if God does not do what you're seeking Him to do? What if the fire does kill you? Amen. What if you do feel the flames? Hello? It doesn't matter. King, I've got my mind made up. I'm never going to serve your gods. And if God never answered another prayer for me, I'm still going to serve Him. If He never fed me another time, I'm still going to serve Him. Anybody else? If He never healed me again, I'm still going to serve Him. If I never ever saw God save another soul, I'm still going to preach that He's the Savior. Amen. If the fire, destroys me, hallelujah, I'm going to go down and I ain't going to bow to your gods. I will not serve your gods. Look at what they said here. They said, but if not, you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that God may not come through for you? And if He doesn't, it don't make no difference to me. You won't see me bowing down at your idol, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter, they said. You know, sometimes we give the devil place. The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't even give him an opportunity. Don't give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Don't converse with the devil. Trying to make a deal with him or something, you know. Trying to figure something out. I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. Matter of fact, the Bible says that was it Michael the archangel, when the devil was disputing about the body of Moses, said he didn't bring railing accusation against him. He just said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Amen. And sometimes, you know, I know that sometimes we get carried away and we, you know, say different things or sing different songs or things like that. And I know that, you know, it's not necessarily meaning it that way, you know, as far as, but you know, you don't find in the Bible where, huge, long conversations just taking place. Just don't even give him a place. Don't even give him a minute's time. Don't give him an inch, because he'll take what? But they said, we're not careful. We don't even have to think about what we're going to say. I don't even have to discuss this. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You notice they had already had one chance. The Bible says that that when they came and accused the Jews, they said, hey, King, didn't you say that whoever didn't bow to this idol would be cast in the fiery furnace? In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already knew before, when the first time they stood, they already knew that there's going to be, that's what was the decree, what was taking place, that you'd be cast into the fiery furnace. And so they had the first opportunity, and they stood for God. But what about the second time? You know, the devil will not give up. If you tell the devil no, do you think he's going to go hide his head in the sand and say, well, ain't no chance with him? No, he'll come back tomorrow. He'll come knocking tomorrow, say, maybe I can get him this time. Well, you know, it didn't work. And they went ahead and on with God and prayed through and got right with God and, amen, made things right. I guess I might as well just give up. The devil ain't going to do that. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. The king said, I'm going to give you another chance. And, you know, there's a lot of people I've seen that stood for God the first time, but sad to say, on the second time, that second chance. When the devil brought them another opportunity, they gave in. Oh God, help us. Amen. Whether it's the first or second or third or fourth temptation, the Bible said that, amen, that he came against Jesus Christ and he brought three different temptations against him. And you know the devil will bring temptation against you, and I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, I know he can. I believe he will. But even if he don't, I'm not going to serve. I'm still going to live right. I'm not going to serve your gods. I'm still going to do what's right. Amen. Even on the second chance to sin. Amen. Even on the second opportunity. You know, sometimes that first opportunity and then that second opportunity, amen, or on down the line is sometimes where the devil gets us. We need to have our mind made up. You know what? You can't have a price tag on you or the devil will get you. He'll pay it. If you're for sale, we can't be for sale. Amen. Say, well, I'd backslide if I could do this or if I could get that or whatever. Well, the devil will pay that price, but he never comes through on his deals. He makes you think he will. Makes me think about a song somebody wrote, said, I'm not for sale. Amen. And it tells one of the verses in there talks about Naboth. That's a very familiar scripture to Bible readers. And it's where Ahab, the king of Samaria, and wicked king, Jezebel's husband, he's walking out there on the palace wall, and he looks down and he sees this vineyard. The Bible said there was a vineyard hard by the palace of Ahab in Jezreel. And it was a palace that was the king's, and right next to it was Naboth, this man, just a simple man, just a common man who had a vineyard. But in this vineyard was handed down. You know, it was an inheritance of his father's. Well, Ahab looked out there and saw the grapes or whatever, man. They just, you know, it's just kind of like going to the grocery store when you're hungry. Everything looks good or something like that, you know. And, I mean, you know, he's out there one day, and I ain't going to talk about food tonight, but I'm going to talk a little bit about this vineyard, these grapes. Can you imagine all them plus grapes, you know, hanging there on that vineyard? And I mean, Ahab's walking by. He said, man, I want some of them. And he comes by and there's Naboth. He said, hey, he said, I'll give you one just as good, or I'll give you your money's worth. He would have paid good for it. He wasn't lacking in money. And he said, I can't sell it. He said, because it's an inheritance of my father's. It meant to him. It meant something more than fancy grapes. Now I want to tell you, my salvation means more to me than fancy grapes. It means more to me than goosebumps up and down my spine. It means more to me than, you know, feeling good in the church house. I'll tell you, I fought the devil. Amen. My parents fought the devil. I prayed. I fasted. Amen. And what I've got with God means more to me than some grapes you'll get at Brookshire's. That's what Naboth was saying. He said, I know you just want it because you want something good to eat, or you think they're good. He said, but it means more to me than that. I want to ask you something tonight. What does your salvation mean to you? You know, people prayed and sought God for you to be saved. Amen. People prayed and sought God for you to be here tonight. Amen. Sometimes we'll sell out so cheap. I think about an old preacher up in Ohio. My brother-in-law has preached for him sometimes. He is telling me a story, and I've heard him preach. Now, you know, I know it's been years since I saw him, but I remember he was a coon hunter. And, I never hunted coon, but people talk about them coon hunters, man. I mean, I've heard them coon hunters said they'd go through divorce before they'd, you know, get rid of one of their dogs nearly. Matter of fact, I heard one preacher tell me, he said, if I wouldn't have got saved, he said, we was going to break up. And he said, it wasn't because of my sin, and he said, it's because of my coon hunting. He said, I'd be gone all night hunting coon all the time. And he said, I have been there. He said, we pulled up get buddy and said that, and I don't know why I'm telling this. This ain't got nothing to do with anything. But buddy said, she's standing on the porch, said, it's me or the dogs. And he said, see ya. But anyways, this man had a coon dog and said his name was Willie. And he's a preacher, and he had to, he hunted coons, loved, and this dog was, somehow they got him down there in the championship or something, down there in Ohio or wherever it was, Kentucky or something, and said there's a big shot there, and saw that coon, saw Willie, and said saw that coon dog, and saw what he done, you know, and watched him that night, and said he came up to him, said, I'll give you, you know, $1,000 for that dog, and he said, Willie ain't for sale, and he said, I'll give you $2,000. He said, Willie ain't for sale. And said the price got up and said that he said, I'll give you $10,000 for Willie. And I'd have sold him long before then. But he said, Willie ain't for sale. And now this is a story. And I asked him, he said, yes, it's true. He said, I'll give you a blank check and you write in there what you want if you sell me that dog. And he said he had overalls. He put his thumb on his overalls. I said, Willie ain't for sale. Amen. Well, I wish somebody would tell the devil that. My salvation is not for sale.
Amen.
That's what Naboth said. He said, you can give me anything you want to. I ain't going to give it to you. I ain't going to sell it. It's not for sale. It's an inheritance of my fathers. I want to tell you something. Our salvation, it might be looked down upon in this world. Amen. But the angels spread their wings. Amen. And rejoiced and danced all over glory when he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I'm talking about something tonight that's worth far more than anything this world can offer. What could a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. What would a man give? His one soul is worth more than the whole world. People sell out so cheap. Amen. People sell out so cheap, I'm telling you. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. They said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. I don't have to think about this, Nebuchadnezzar. I done got my mind made up. Amen. I don't care if I do die in that fire. I'm never going to bow down over there at that idol. Amen. I believe God will. I know that he can, but if he does not, you're not going to see me over there worshiping your gods. Because I'm not for sale. You know, if you put a price tag on you, the devil will pay for it. Young people say, well, if I could have this, or if I could have that, or if I could, you know, if I could just, you know, this, that, or the other. I'm telling you, that's so cheap. Sell out so cheap. God help us. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He died for that. Praise God. He died for it. What you have worth is what you have worth dying for? Come on, church, tonight. Amen. I said, what you have worth dying for? God help us tonight, amen, to give our all to the Lord. Amen. They said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. And so many times we get to thinking about, well, you know, if I could do this, or if I could do that, or if I could this, or I could do that. You know, I feel like the Lord's speaking to somebody tonight. There's a lot of people sold their soul out when God was dealing with them not to make a decision or not to do something or not to go somewhere or not to do it. Amen. The Holy Ghost knows the future. The Bible said he'll show you things to come. The Holy Ghost is God. He's the third person of the triune Godhead. And when the Holy Ghost deals with you about something, he knows what'll happen tomorrow. You don't know what'll happen tomorrow. None of us know what'll happen tomorrow. Amen. God has hid it from us. There's no way. Sometimes he might give us an insight or a quickening or a something like that. But there's no human that knows the future. I know people, you know, palm readers and things like that's demonic, you know, demonic forces that lie to people. Amen. And they have ways of bringing things together in people's lives, making it look like it's true because they're subject under those powers. And the powers of hell are real. But the devil doesn't know the future either. How does things like that happen? Just like you that have worked in the oil field can know what the next step is, but you can't guarantee that it's going to be that way. You grow the garden, and you know after so many days this, that, or this, but you can't guarantee it, but you can pretty get a good speculation on it. That's the way the devil is. He's been at this. He had a part of the tree of life. He's not mortal flesh like us. He don't die every 100 years. He's been all through. So he's got a pretty good speculation on what's going to happen in people's lives, but he does not know the future. Only God knows the future, and God does know the future. The Holy Ghost knows the future. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. They said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We've got our mind made up. A lot of times you go to conversing, you get to thinking in your mind, well, you know, and plans. Oh, if people's plans would have just worked out, there wouldn't be half as many people in hell. They planned, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to get right, then I'm going to sell out, then I'm going to do this, then do that. But your plans don't always work out. Amen. Getting that rolling over in your mind. The devil offers you something. It looks so good. It looks so fancy. It looks so perfect. It looks just like everything we would want. Amen. But they said, I know that he can. I believe that he will. But I don't have to think about your offer. No thank you on your offer is what they said. Amen. We're not even careful to answer. We don't even have to think about what we're going to tell you. Said, we don't even have to think about this. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are steadfast in what we believe in this matter. And that is this right here, that we're never going to serve your gods, whether you throw us in that fire or not. You can play your music. They never played it the second time. Isn't that wonderful? They never played it the second time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Devil had to take the tough head on that one. I mean, that's getting ready. That's, you know, he would have played it louder than ever. You know, it would have been a bigger shebang than ever. Come on, church. But he never even got to play it. But the king got so mad that the form of his face turned. Amen. The form of his visage changed. The Bible said his facial expressions changed. I'm telling you right now, I feel like the Lord would have me tell you, don't even talk to the devil about plans or think about it. The Bible says in Hebrews 15 that if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. We play around with stuff. The devil is the arch deceiver. There is a word in the Bible called trap. You think if somebody gets their self caught in a trap that they was planning on it. An animal plans to go get in that trap. You know, no, the trap is at that quick snare that comes upon us when we're not expecting it. And I'll tell you right now, if they had been mindful of the country which you came out of, you've prayed through and got right with God, you've let go of something in your life, don't sit around and think about it. If they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:15, the devil will bring it to your mind. We must have the power of God and the power of prayer. Amen. And use the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against the devil. Amen. Rebuke the mind. Amen. The Bible said bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Being ready to say no is what that's saying. Be ready to tell the devil no. Be ready to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. I'm not going to bow down to your God. I'm not going to accept your offer. I don't even want to go into the discussion room. What would that be called? The interview room? Interrogation room? I know it ain't discussion room. There has to be something better than that. Conference room. There we go. That's what I was looking for. How many people, saints of God, young people, go in the conference room with the devil? What in the world could we conference about? He doesn't care for my soul. He has no good plans for me. Why am I going to conference with him? If we had been mindful, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity. Don't give yourself the opportunity to fall. There'll be enough of them. Don't give yourself the opportunity to make a mistake. There'll be enough of them. Can I get a witness tonight? Don't give ourselves the opportunity to make a bad choice. Neither give place to the devil. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. This has been impressed on my heart recently again. Amen. The Bible did not say ignore the devil and he will flee from you. A lot of people ignore the devil or try to ignore the devil. You ignore the devil, that he ain't going to do nothing. There is a difference. If you tried to shake my hand, I've showed y'all this before. It seems like one time Silas was here and he helped me demonstrate it. Y'all remember that? I said, ignore me. You know, ignore just like this, but resist. If I try to shake your hand and you resist to shake my hand, it's a whole lot different than ignoring to shake my hand. And when the devil comes, you ignore the devil. You ain't done nothing that the Bible says. You got to resist the devil. I will not shake your hand, Mr. Snow. Or obviously turn and walk away. My God, help us. Somebody starts carrying on, telling filthy jokes or anything like that. Maybe you used to fit in that crowd. Or going places that, amen, a Christian wouldn't go there no more. I mean, we don't give opportunity. The Bible said they might have had opportunity. You give a place to the devil, he'll get in. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You let his foot get in the door, he'll be standing in the doorway, blocking the door before it's over. Y'all are quiet tonight. Is the Lord speaking to somebody right here tonight? God help us. I know He can. I believe He will. But if He doesn't, I'm still gonna live right. I know God can send revival and sweep over this place. I know God can save souls and I believe He will. But if He does not, I'm still gonna live right. I know God can change our circumstances. He can save our family members. He can put, amen, it right back the way it should be. And I believe that He will. But if He doesn't, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if God doesn't? They had their mind made up. Amen. Naboth had his mind made up. Oh God, we will not. Notice that in our scripture reading. We will not bow. Somebody say, we will not. They looked right there at that king and they said, I know God can. And I believe that He will. But if not, we will not bow to your God. If God does not come through for me, I'm still not going back. I'm still not backing up. I'm still not going to bow. You'll still see me standing. The Bible said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. I've done everything to stand. And it seems like that fire was so hot. You know, the Bible said they heated it 7 times hotter. You know, 7 is God's number of completion. And if you take that in the spiritual sense, that is saying that He heated it as hot as it could get. When 7 is God's number of completion. When He told the children of Israel, if you go back on God, I'll punish you 7 times. Actually, He was saying, I'll punish you as much as I can. When Elijah said, when he was praying for rain, Sister Bobby, and he said, go again 7 times. In the literal sense, he wasn't saying go 7 times. He was saying, go until you see something. Amen. And when the Bible says a just man falleth 7 times, yet he ariseth again, that doesn't mean he don't get up on the 8th time. Come on, somebody. It means he always gets up. He gets up until he don't fall again. Now I want you to know they heated that fire 7 times hotter. It couldn't have got any hotter. As hot as it could get. But they still wasn't going to bow. Amen. I'm telling you, your trouble may get worse. Your situation may get worse. Your job may get worse. You may be more broke than ever. But can you say, but if not? Amen. I'll never go back. Amen. If God never saved saves my family member, if he never saves my husband, if he never saves my wife, if he never saves my son or daughter, I am not going to bow at this God. We will not. If I'm the only one standing, I'm going to be standing. You can mark it down, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm never going to bow at that God. Never. Hallelujah. 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 So many times we as Christians, because God helps us so much, we think, well, it's just a matter of time God's going to do this. And it is only a matter of time if God does it. But sometime this afternoon in my office, it's been eating on me. Amen. For a couple of weeks, Sister Bethany. Amen. Since we talked about this. Amen. But this afternoon in prayer, I felt like the Lord, amen, directed me to preach, amen, to somebody. What are you going to do if God don't come through for you? What are you going to do? Play your music. Turn up your fire. Do whatever you want to do to me. My knees are locked. And I ain't bowing. And I wish some people right here at Old Paths. I wish some people right here on Wednesday night. I wish some young people. Amen. And say, I'm not careful to answer you in this matter. I don't have to think about this. Amen. I know God can. I believe God will. But if he don't, you can mark down one thing for sure. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to pick back up the things of this world. I'm not turning around. I have made up my mind. You can play your music. You can blow your horns. You can turn up the fire. But I am not going to go back. If God never does it, if he never makes a way, if he never does it, Lord, no matter what you do, you can put me in that fire. We know what happened. He was in the fire with them. But Job said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust in him. If God chooses to kill me, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to sing, amen. We're farther along and we'll understand why. I'll know about it one day. Oh, saints of God, I'm in town to the stake and say, recant, no way. Hallelujah. I know you've probably heard the story, but I'm going to tell it to you one more time and then I'm coming to a close. They said over there in Romania, that cold, icy season, they had those Christians, and they marched them out there on a lake of ice. Said, strip your clothes down. They stripped them down. And the freezing sub-zero, the lake was froze over. So ever how cold that had to be. You might have heard the story. They built a fire on the shore and said, any time one of you want to denounce your Christianity, said, you can come. And warm up at this fire. Here's a change of clothes. Here's your clothes. You can put them on. You can live. Otherwise, you stay on that lake and you freeze to death. Said, if any of you try to run the other way, we're going to shoot you with our guns. I think they said there's 41 of them. You heard the story probably. All 40 of them died. There was one man left. Every one of them had died but one man. He was holding on. He saw that fire. He saw all his brothers and sisters in Christ turned around, had died. And he made that choice to walk to the fire. When he got to the fire, began to warm himself, the soldier said, here, started taking his clothes off. Hey, what are you doing? He said, you can have my clothes. What? As he began to walk towards the center of that pond, that soldier, he said, I've been sitting here watching, and every time one would go down, a white being would come and put a warm clothes, warm robe around them and a crown on their head and take them off. And he said, when another one would get close, I could see him get them that robe close. and said, when he would go down, said, here would come, he would come down clothing. And he said, there's one more angel with one more robe and one more crown. And if you don't want it, I'll take it. Hallelujah. 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 The devil's telling you give up. The devil's telling you God ain't going to come through for you. The devil's telling you you ain't never going to make it. The devil's saying, look how hot that fire is. The devil's saying, how are you going to make it through that fire? I'll tell you, devil, if God does it, I'm not going to bow. Come on, worship God tonight. I know that he can. I believe that he will. But if he don't, I'm going to win my crown. I'm going to take my robe. Come on, Sister Bobby. Bless her, Lord. Hallelujah. If God never heals me, if God never saves my husband, if God never comes through for me, I'm still going to love God. I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going on. I'm still going to be a servant. I'm going to follow in my calling. Come on, children. Amen. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. You've been praying about stuff in this church. You've been praying that God would come through for you, and the fire just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Amen. The devil said, what are you going to do now, devil? I know God can. I believe he will, but if he don't, if he never saves my husband, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to turn around. Oh, in the name of Jesus, the Lord's going to help somebody tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you going to do? How are you going to make it? You'll never make it. Come on, Courtney. Oh, if God never moves for me, if he never changes the situation, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to bow to that idol. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the Lord move tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If God never heals me, I'm still going to serve him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if not, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.